Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Blessed be his holy name. Exalted be the name of our God. Welcome all of you to the house of the Lord. Welcome. And welcome all of you joining us right now online. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center. It is an honor and a pleasure to share the word of the Lord with you. It is wonderful, absolutely wonderful, that I'm able to impart the word of God. And it blesses my heart when people come to me and say that things like, that word was for me, that word touched my heart, or that word was for a loved one. Recently, just a couple of days ago, literally 2 days ago, someone came to me and said, Pastor, I think this is how she worded, either I'm listening better or you're preaching better. But whatever the case might be, I'm growing. And that just blessed my heart. You know, for us to know that someone is growing in Christ and someone is receiving the word and they're going from milk to meat, you know, like how Paul says it. So it is an honor and a pleasure to teach the word, to share the word of God, to pray over your lives, to intercede for you, all these things. It's so satisfying. And we bless his holy name. Thank you so much for waiting. We've had a wonderful worship session and praying for healing and deliverance for us. And now let's get into the word of God. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we exalt your holy name. Lord, we bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for another day that you have given us. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day, Lord, that you've blessed us. Another day, Lord, that we can open our eyes and we're still here, Lord, and we're still here to worship you and praise you. Thank you, Lord, so much. And now, Lord, as your word goes through, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will plant the seed, Lord, in the hearts of everyone that's watching this right now, that is listening, Lord, right now, both here and also online. I pray, Lord, that your name and your name alone will be glorified in our midst. Lord, we love you.
Yes, Lord.
And we will always love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'd like for you to open your Bibles with me to the book of Ezekiel. This morning we're going to be reading Ezekiel chapter 22. And we're going to cover something like four verses. It's not going to be tremendously long. And whenever you're there, you can say amen. Ezekiel 22, starting in verses 18. Praise the Lord. Exalted be his holy name. For he is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, are we there? Amen? All right, let's read the word of the Lord. Ezekiel 22, starting in verses 18, says, Son of man, the house of Israel has become dross to me. They are all bronze, tin, iron, and lead. In the midst of furnace, they have become dross from silver. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have all become dross, therefore, behold, I will gather you into the midst of Jerusalem. As men gather silver, bronze, iron, lead, and tin into the midst of a furnace to blow fire on it, to melt it, so I will gather you in my anger and in my fury. And I will leave you there and melt you. Yes, I will gather you and blow on you with the fire of my wrath. And you shall be melted in its midst. As silver is melted in the midst of a furnace, so shall you be melted in its midst. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have poured out my fury on you. Now, right here, from hindsight, you'll be thinking, wow, that's quite a strong word right now. That's quite a strong word from the Lord. The Lord right now is not kidding. This is not a test. This is real. And he's saying something very, very much real to a real people at a real time, dealing with real issues. Right now, we just finished reading Israel being pictured as pure silver. And they have allowed themselves to become ultimately mingled with their surroundings, mingled with the world. And as a result, what has happened here is that they are no longer pure. This is ultimately what's being portrayed right now. But they have become weak. They have become worthless in the sight of God. They have become contaminated, however you want to word it. And right now, you hear the Lord speaking. And the Lord right now is pictured as a refiner of metal. And this is the process that's spoken right now in the Bible. God is determined to rid them of their impurities, and he's also looking to mold them into his image. Mind you, these are the people of God. These are God's chosen people. God is determined to rid them of all the nonsense, of all the impurities that have ultimately infiltrated in their midst, and also mold them in such a way, mold them into his image, the image of God. And after all, everybody, mind you, when this was being written, everybody knew of the God of Israel. If they didn't know him personally, they knew of the God of Israel and how powerful he was and all the great and many things that he did and how little itty-bitty people, sometimes just a simple 300 of them, would conquer thousands and tens of thousands. And they all gave credit to the Lord as a result, but the people, on the other hand, were not reflecting this God. They didn't carry a righteous testimony. They did not go through the motions of worshiping the Lord as they should. They started to become exactly like everybody else around. And now, as a result, Israel is facing the fierce judgment of the Lord God Almighty. Now, this is the story that I just finished reading right now from the book of Ezekiel. Now, let's talk about you and I. Do you know that you and I sometimes can become mingled with the impurities that this world offers? With the impurities that's all around us? We become alloyed. We become mingled. We could be sometimes infected. We could be persuaded sometimes by the way that we think, the way that we do things. And when this happens, we also lose our value and we ultimately become weak. And that's very unfortunate. However, unlike Israel, our sins have already been judged at Calvary, yes? And we're forgiven forever at the very moment that we gave our lives to Jesus, right? Because right now we have grace, we have the blood of Jesus, the Lord died on the cross for us. So we got this to fall back on. Right? You would agree with me with that, right? This is not a test. The answer would be yes, all right? Not to put anybody on the spot. Now, I have a question then if we're going to bring this to the topic right now. If this is the case right now, then why does it seem that so many people, and when I say people, I say God's children, those specifically that have given their lives to Jesus, who have proclaimed their love for God, dedicated their life to the Lord, why so many of God's children are in a furnace? Now that's a valid question. If right now we are living in a period of grace, if the Lord died for our sins and he has cleansed us from our sins, why is there so many of God's children going through the fire? As we all know, the refiner's fire. With Israel, it was a matter of divine judgment. God was judging those people. You know better. You have the law of Moses that I gave to my servant Moses. You have the prophets. You have the judges. You know I have spoken. But yet, they choose not to listen. They rebelled. They killed the prophets. They persecuted the prophets. They decided to do their own things, follow other gods, be influenced by the surroundings among them. Now, with us, God is merely trying to see his image reflected by us. He's trying to see the Lord Jesus. The Bible says for us to be like Jesus, for us to imitate him, to do the same things that he did. Now, I can tell you right now from personal experience that it's no fun when you're going through the furnace. It's not fun, believe me. Going through the troubles, going through the trials. But God's furnace can prove to be, believe it or not, a wellspring of joy. A wellspring of joy. And this morning, I want to preach about that. I want to talk about living in God's furnace. Going through God's furnace. And right away, I just want to say right now that this is a privilege, stick with me now, that is only available for the redeemed. Only available for those who the Lord has stamped, who the Lord has a plan for. It could very well be that someone might not be living in the ways of God. They might have deserted the ways of the Lord. That's doing all that they want to do and have no regards of the laws of the Lord. But nonetheless, like Pastor used to say, they're a hooked fish. They are a hooked fish. They're going to come, or they're going to come. Otherwise, they're coming. Oh, yes, they're coming. You know, whether they're walking through the front door or being pushed by a wheelchair, they're coming. But they're coming. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. So this furnace thing, oftentimes people look at it and they complain. They went, Lord, don't you see? Aren't you, like, what is going on? Well, anyways, before I get too far ahead of myself, let's go step by step here. I have 5 different points right now that I want to illustrate right now. Speaking about going through God's furnace. Here in Ezekiel, there are several metals that's being used. And impure and worthless until exposed to the heat of the furnace and the breath of the refiner, as is described in the book of Ezekiel. And God's furnace is a place where our impurities are burnt away. They are completely consumed by the fire. The impurity of sin ultimately is what gets you in that predicament, in that situation, in the furnace. May I please have Revelation chapter 3, verses 19, please? The Bible says, the Lord is saying right now, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. You know, I have shared, I have taught, I have preached quite a few amount of sermons. And to date, and I know by God's mercy and in His perfect will, I will preach many more. And I love it. But to date, there's only selective things that sticks to mind, that stays with me, that I enjoy sharing. I'm not saying they are my signature messages or what I identify myself with or none of that. But there are certain messages, certain things that have been implanted in me that I love to talk about and I love to expound and study and I love to live it. Live it. And that is zeal. I value zeal. Amen. And I try to be zealous with the things of God in everything that I do, especially the things that I do for the Lord. And I know that if I'm zealous, maybe the Lord will turn down the heat a little bit and, you know, and let me flow, you know, with a little bit of a fan on, because I'm always trying to watch myself. There's always opportunities for us to slip and fall and stumble and sin if we don't watch our attitude, if we don't watch our mouth, our lips, the things that we say. So many different things. We got to stay on top of the throttle continuously. And in order for you to have that type of attitude, you want to value zeal. And the Bible here says, the Lord is saying that for as many as I love, the Lord loves every single one of us. He loves me, He loves you. I rebuke, I correct, and I chasten to keep you straight, to keep you in the right way. And then it says, therefore, not only just repent from your sins, from what may the Lord rebuke you from the beginning, but also carry a spirit of zeal. These are one of the things that we can do. I want to show you now a second verse that mirrors this verse right here, which is Hebrews chapter 12, verses 8, that says this. But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. You see why it's a necessity? We are carnal by nature. We naturally want to gravitate towards the things that are not supposed to be. Prime example, the children of Israel. The people who the Lord brought out of Egypt through signs and wonders and miracles. These grand things, extravagant things that happen. One that sticks to mind is the parting of the Red Sea. When have you ever heard in the history of earth of such thing happening? And when people talk about it, they know who they're talking. They're talking about, oh, that's that Christian stuff, right? That's what's in the Bible. That's what those preachers preach on and all of that. Nonetheless, the point that I'm trying to make is that the children of Israel, they knew God. They knew the Lord. The Lord walked with them. And yet, because of their surroundings, because they were not zealous, ultimately they sinned and they fell. So therefore, it's very necessary sometimes for the Lord to just correct us, to just bring us back. He's getting our attention. If you could put up the verse for me once again, please. But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, the Bible is saying that you are not legitimate. You are illegitimate and not sons of God, sons of the Lord. You know, this is why we don't complain. We don't murmur. We go to God. We seek His face. We go to Him even more and even more. The weak alloy of casual service can also put us in that predicament. When we are casually just going by and serving the Lord, sometimes the Lord just cranks up the heat. Oh, when it works out, or when I have time, or when I'm feeling good and I'm not so tired. Oh, when we don't put in that effort, when we don't seek, when we don't put in the time and the work and we're just going through the motions, and all of a sudden, ooh, what is that? That's the Lord. May I please have Titus chapter 2, verses 14, please. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people who are what? Zealous for good works. The Lord separating every single one of us. The Lord purifying us. All of us who have the spirit of zeal, who are zealous towards the thing of God, the things of God, and not just casual, just going by the motions. The Lord is working on you. He's refining you day by day. And it's the great love of the Father that places you there. It is the great love of the Lord that puts us in there. Because if the Lord didn't love us, if He didn't care for us, you would not be called His son. For as many as the Lord loves, right, He chastens, it is only the great love of God. And His desire for every single one of us is that we bear His image. This is what He wants. You know, if you're working for a company, let's just say a well-known company. I'm going to use a fast food chain. Oh, what fast food chain? I'm going to use Burger King. If someone is working for Burger King, you know they're working for Burger King because, for one, they have black slacks, and then they have that gray button-down shirt. It's always black and gray, and it'll have Burger King right here somewhere on their chest pocket. You know, and they used to have like a black hat with like a colorful ring around it. But they're usually wearing a hat of some sort. If you go to Chick-fil-A, they have, you know, their own uniform. And if you don't know where you are, you know that they're always saying, "My pleasure. It's a pleasure to serve you." It always ends up that way. That's like a word trick. They have to say that, right? They are being identified by where they are at that very moment. At that moment in time, they are getting paid. And therefore, you are going to look like them. You're going to speak like them. The customer service is going to be like this. This is how you're supposed to do it. I know a little something about customer service. I was sent off for 1 week in southern United States, down in Atlanta, for 5 days to be taught about customer service and how Porsche wants you to interact with people. You know, never mind sales, never mind racetrack, 0 to 60s, going around the apex, and all of that. No, customer service one-on-one and psychology. Because they want to provide the Porsche experience. When you come in to buy one of those vehicles, you are going through an experience. Why? And they say this because you are representing the company. You are representing us. Right? When they walk in, they must know that they are at such and such a dealership. This type of dealership, that type of dealership. Now, the Lord right now, ultimately, through His great love, what He wants to do is see His Son through you and I. However, if we are mingled with the things of the world, talking, walking, when we look like just like everybody else, when people can mistake us for just being whatever you want to input there, there's something wrong with that. We are not representing the kingdom. And his furnace is calculated, is dialed in to burn off all the layers. The Bible here calls dross, which is rubbish. It's dialed in perfectly to burn all that rubbish off and revealing the glory that is hidden, that is not hidden, that is within every single one of us. Because the Spirit of God is inside of every single one of us. We give our lives to Jesus. But now we are in a mess. We are dirty. We are filthy. We have these baggages. We have all these things that sometimes weigh us down. A prime example here that I want to show of a man was our Lord Jesus when he was on earth. On the transfiguration, when he was on a mount and he was transfigured, this is where the Lord wants us to be. At that point, this is us. Our own transfiguration, to where as though when people see us, they can tell, that guy's a Christian. That guy loves Jesus. I have come across people at the workplace, at the cashier's counter, at the mall, at the restaurant, where just a glance of an eye, eye contact, I sense the Spirit of God in them. Total strangers. Then did not know them from a bag of apples, right? Complete strangers. And I never approached them and asked them or anything. I just sense it. And also people that I've worked with. You felt the love of God. You felt something different about that person. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about, right? There's something different about him. There's something different about her. You know, this is what the Lord wants. He wants to see the Lord Jesus in us. Right now, I'm going to wrap this up. And if the Lord will, I'm going to continue next Tuesday. But I want to leave you with this verse right now for now, which comes from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, that says this. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. And then here is where this is starting to make sense. It says, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to your surroundings, to your neighbors, to your job, to your environment, to this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. This is the word of the Lord for us.
Thank you, Lord.
Presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice is our service to God. It is our duty for the Lord. And us conforming to our surroundings is a no-go. It's not an option at all. It's not even an option. I'm just going to leave it at that. We must always renew our mind. And it's okay when the Lord is trying to refine us, to try to burn away certain things. Next week, I'm going to talk about how much of a privilege it is to be refined by the Master, to be refined by the Lord, and also the prize of the furnace. All these things are for us. I'm also going to speak about the pain that we go through. Sometimes we have to encounter loss. But when you look back, it was for our own good. It was the best thing that has ever happened to us. Have you ever been in that situation when you lost something or someone. And ultimately, whatever that situation was the very best outcome of everything. And when I mean lost someone, I don't mean they died. They were just removed from your life. It could be a new job, a new employer. Right? It could be a new neighborhood. Whatever the case might be. The Lord working in us. All of that, God willing, will be next Tuesday morning. Amen?
Amen.
Let's conclude with a word of prayer. Lord, we exalt your name. Lord, we love you. And Lord, I thank you that you take the time, Lord, to prune us, to polish us, to remove, Lord, all impurities. Because you love us, Lord, and you love us so. Thank you, Lord, so much. And I pray, Lord, that when we are going sometimes through difficult situations, that we, Lord, we would shed off the pride, shed off, Lord, the all those things, Lord, that come contrary to your word. I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't complain. That we wouldn't complain to one another. Or, Lord, even complain to you. But we will, Lord, have a thankful heart. Even though sometimes, Lord, we don't see, we don't know what you are doing in the background, ultimately, it is for our own good. And I pray, Lord, that we will humble ourselves and always, Lord, have a spirit of zeal before your presence. I pray, Lord, for everyone right now who is going through a tough time, who is going, Lord, right now through a situation to where as though they might feel it's unbearable. I pray, Lord, that your grace would come upon them, Lord. I pray, Lord, that they would humble themselves before you. I pray, Lord, that you will manifest, Lord, your perfect will to their lives. I pray, Lord, that your grace will supersede everything, Lord, and that they would come out on the other side a whole lot better than before. We bless your holy name, Lord. And it is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.